Let's read the Bible. We're going to start in Psalm 127. Then after that, we'll jump over to 2 Peter. So follow along with your versions. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Logan, and everyone. Great to see you all today. We are in week 3 of our Big Question series, and today I have the joy of talking about kids, and so these are my kids. I have 3. That's out the front of the Space Center in North Terrace near Lot 42 or something. 4-1. Where? 14. There you go. 3 kids, 7, 9, 11, and I think they're pretty wonderful, and if you have children, you could import your own children to that photo, and you would agree that they make you smile at times. And it really is thrilling, in fact, thrilling to be a parent. Watching your flesh and blood grow up is both an amazing but a daunting way to live. When I graduated year 12, I did very well in a subject and got invited to Government House with the Governor General. I had afternoon tea and crumpets with her. We had some photos and it was very lovely, and I got to take my mum along. And I think she was more excited than I was for this afternoon, because I'd achieved something. Her son had done something wonderful, and there's purpose and meaning coming from this celebration of tea and crumpets after a year of school. And maybe if you've been in year 12, you know, you did really well as well, and it was a lovely time. But you've got stories in your own family, I'm sure. And so as we're asking this question, kids and family came up number one in our surveying of folks. And given what I've just said, it's not hard to see how little humans create a whole new purpose for our life. Moreover, God is certainly not against family or kids. There is something good and right about kids and grandkids and nephews and nieces. I don't have any nieces, so that's why. But in Genesis 1:28, God asks Adam and Eve to have kids, start families, fill the earth, all before sin entered the world. But if you've spent any more time than 52 seconds around a child or teenager, you would know that there's a sense of frustration attached to children, isn't there? Do kids bring ultimate meaning and purpose in life? Can children carry the weight of purpose that we assign to them and want for them? What about not having kids? By choice or because you are unable to? Does that mean you have no meaning and purpose in life? What about when your kids don't want to have anything to do with you? Or as parents, if you don't want to have anything to do with your kids, has your purpose in life failed? Are you just a shell of a human? Now, certainly strained relationships with family make us feel like it at times, don't they? I'm reminded of a comment from an old pastor called J.C. Ryle, and he wrote a book for his parents in the church, and in it he says this: "There are no sorrows on earth like those which children have brought upon their parents." And he references a number of Bible characters, if you remember them, from Adam to Jacob to David, Sarah, Naomi. Of course, the Bible is a mirror image of our life, and it's not hard to find modern examples. The moment your teenager drives down the road on their P's for the first time, nervously leaving your child in the care of someone else for the first time. There's the grief of a funeral for your child, or the silent suffering of infertility and the dream of being a mummy and daddy now out of reach. There's the guilt and the shame of comparing yourself to a million other mums who seem to have it all together and can work and are fitter and healthier and more godly than you. Or you watch your kids make decisions you know will end badly, but you cannot do anything about it. The list is endless. Which means finding meaning and purpose in our kids can often be trying to find a needle in a haystack. Add to this the strange idea in our culture that often people speak and act as if you don't really become a human until you have a romantic partner and then kids. When me and Natasha were dating, we got asked a question a lot. Do you know what that question was? When will you get married? And then we got married. And then within a few months, we got asked another question. Do you know what that question was? When will you have children? And then once we had one child, we got asked another question. Do you know what that question was? When will you have another child? And then suddenly, do you know what happened? No one asked any more questions. And then after we had our third baby, someone asked a question. Do you know what they said? Will you have any more? Which is the couch way of saying you should stop. Yeah, let the multiplying and fruitfulness for other people, please. You've had enough now. But I hope you can hear just the complexity here of trying to answer a question about meaning and purpose and kids. Because I know that this is a very painful thing for many of you. And many of us have strong views and opinions about children and how to raise them anyway. So we're going to attempt the impossible. But God likes to do impossible things, so I think we'll be in good stead. But as we begin, I want you to know that from the start, before we even explore this anymore, there is a God who knows our struggles with children. The God of creation and new creation, of grace and redemption, has revealed himself to us as a compassionate and mindful Father. Maybe you look around your life and you say, why, God? How long do you care? Maybe you say that angrily or with despair and sadness and mourning. Well, would you hear these words this morning from 2 Corinthians? It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received from God. I once read a story about an OT, occupational therapist, called Melissa. And Melissa works with children. And one day she was working with a small boy with autism. And he became very overwhelmed. And his emotions were slipping away. And he wasn't in control of his body. And he was a bit like an astronaut floating in space. And so Melissa eventually got him over to this contraption she called the swing. Now, it's this. And you put the boy in it, and the fabric is like his cocoon, and it kind of wraps it around him, and so suddenly he's aware of his body and the space, and being placed in here, it makes him feel safe and secure, just like being in your father's arms. And you see, the presence of God and comfort of God is much like this. To trust in Jesus for our salvation gives us God's presence in our life, and it's through the inputs of word and prayer and God's people and God's Spirit, we actually find God's comforting arms like that boy did, which means into all the complexities of parenting and having kids. And Christianity invites you to let God carry your parenting and kid burdens by recognizing that you are first and foremost a child, a kid of God the Father, made in His image, saved and given grace for every struggle and joy from Jesus, your big brother. Which means parenting and our struggles with not having children or anything, but navigated from the place and position of being a child of God in Christ is where we should all begin this. Because it's in the arms of God that each of us find our purpose and identity in the God who made families and kids. It can be found in the one who shows grace and mercy to us, who knows that life is not always what you want it to be or plan it to be. But first and foremost, we see ourselves as a child of Him relating to our Heavenly Father through Jesus. And that's safe. And once here, covered with grace, we can begin to unravel God's agenda for our kids from being a kid ourselves, you see? So, let's do that now. Let's walk through Psalm 127. So, open your Bible and have it there. We'll jump over this very short psalm. And we're going to see just a slither, because this is big, but a slither of how we can see kids and parenting and all that from God's point of view. So this is God's agenda for our children, I've called it. Now, this psalm, it falls into a category of wisdom psalms, fittingly written by Solomon. Solomon penned a huge chunk of wisdom literature in the Bible, but only two psalms, this one and Psalm 72. The wisdom it speaks of is in the realm of family, home, and work. And it's ironic because Solomon failed at all of these things he then writes and talks about. But it begins by speaking about a house and a city and the security that comes from being a family unit in the day that it was written. So having a family line provided you, in ancient Israel, a bit like Centrelink, all the support you would need to flourish. Having kids, therefore, was a way of guarding the family name from shame. Down in verse 5, we see that. Because you could defend one another in community disputes. You had someone behind, got your back behind you. The picture of a quiver full of arrows, like a warrior, is the idea of protecting a family like an archer would. And as a family or father, in verse 4, makes their way in the world, kids support the family. It's the ancient equivalent of saying, family's there for each other. That's the picture we're getting. But it's written in a culture very different to ours. But you can see the principle. But even still, setting family up is important. Solomon doesn't say family is most important or it's the meaning of life. He says in verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. Which is more forcefully said in verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord, a reward from Him. Now, without negating how kids are made in a human way, this is a reminder that the human actions to get a child, either by passion or plan, John 1:13 says, come about from the author of life. Therefore, the meaning is kids are a gift from God. Kids are a gift from God. That applies to every single child, not just yours. Now, think through that. If you don't have kids, you might become obsessed with getting pregnant and that certain time of the month. If you do have kids, you might become too obsessed with them and their happiness too much. I recently saw an Instagram reel that said, my biggest parenting failure is I love to spoil my kids and wonder why they feel entitled, as the mother was filming them eating 3 crumble cookies. If you don't know what that means, don't worry, they were very spoiled. But you see, if kids are a gift from God, they belong to Him. And we need to hear this, not just as parents, but grandparents and not yet parents and unable to be parents, because the reality is kids can become more important than God and our identity as a parent in Him. We can forget we're in need of God's grace and truth as we parent little humans who are also in need of God's grace and truth. If kids are His, a gift from Him, we can set our hope fully on Christ, even if our idea of what family should be or what job our kids should have or how to navigate the older years, even if that's not what it turns out to be. Paul Tripp, in his book Parenting, says it this way: parenting is a miserable place to look for your identity, if for no other reason than every parent parents sinners. You need to recognize that kids are a gift from God means you come to God with the right attitude towards parenting your kids. You come to the Lord with a holy boldness, saying, Lord, be gracious and merciful to your gifts you've given me. And it means you adopt the outlook of Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2. And 1 and 2 make it clear there's a security that can come from God that we can't labor for on our own. And especially as parents, there's an anxious cycle you live in, isn't there? On repeat. And in these verses, there's three vain or futile things mentioned, not because in themselves they're futile, but because they can become futile if they're not in their proper place. And it's the realm of home and family, hard work, economic building, good food, and restful sleep. And notice the contrast Solomon sets up. He says, there's our building, and he knows lots about building, our building, which is fragile and faulty, but the Lord's building, which lasts, with our watching, yet I don't have eyes in the back of my head, but God is always watching. With we wear ourselves out day by day, but God is alert and awake at all times. And so you see, placing these under God, they move from vanity and futile to purposeful and meaningful. Thus, the wisdom of Solomon is that God will sustain us as we put all things in life under God's loving rule and care as they order around Him. Kids and work and family and our own life placed under Him. Because this is the way God intended them to function. The Psalms paint a picture often of how things should be as much as how things are not. But think of it this way. Imagine the planets all revolve around the sun, right, in our solar system. They find alignment because of that big burning ball of gas, the sun. And as we adopt our child of God identity, we can begin to parent and see ourselves and children as a great gift and joy as we place them in the right orbit around the Son of God. And like all the planets in our solar system are arranged so they don't crash and bang and cause conflict or chaos, as we place our life and desires around the Son of God, it too can orbit around Him for the glory of God. Therefore, to place our kids and our desire for kids, if we can't have them, and the future for our kids in the orbit of God, trusting in His building plans for their life, is a much better way to navigate all the complexities we face, because we find security and peace and rest in Him. How do you enjoy kids then? Because they do give a sense of meaning and purpose. But we remember they're gifts from God. As James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from God above. So the question is, are you asking your family, or the idea of family, to do more, much more than what it was ever made for? Are you placing too much weight on kids and family for meaning and purpose when God never intended them to carry that much weight? You see, God has an agenda for all of us as parents and kids, which is why we need to hear the words of 2 Peter as well. Come over here and let's wrap up. God's agenda for us all. Listen to the words of Peter. Peter followed Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He saw Jesus. He chatted with Jesus. And I want to show you three things from verse 3 that Peter emphasizes about a meaningful, fulfilling life. And notice this, it says nothing about kids. So, here's what he says. His divine power, this is the source, this is God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life. That's the scope, nothing's off limits. And the structure for this is through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. You see, Peter's putting to us an all-inclusive, all-encompassing way of living, coming from God, covering every area of life, which means a meaningful life can exist this side of eternity with or without kids. And if you have kids and didn't plan for them, you still can have a meaningful life, because His divine power, not kids, is the source of life and godliness. You see, God is offering us Himself as the source of satisfaction and joy and hope. Which means we don't love kids less. It is not to say there's no grief and sadness as a parent, or that if your life isn't the fullest you thought. It simply means that we can view our kids and ourselves the way God intended. It means that when life is less than ideal, God is giving us everything we need for a godly life in Him, as we relate to Him through the knowledge of Him. You know, one thing we do as a family, and I'm sure lots of you do anyway, is you clean cupboards in your house routinely. And you find ripped clothes and small pieces of food that have lost all integrity, and another piece of craft which has to delicately make its way to the recycling bin, that sort of thing. And as you tidy up, you'll often say things, if you have children, you'll say, "Oh, these clothes are so small." And you hold them up and you say, "I can't believe you fit into this. Look at you now." You know, we routinely tidy our houses and our places, but perhaps there's another kind of tidying that would be useful to do this morning. Cleaning up our perspective, our hearts and our minds, to realize that in the Christian gospel of Jesus, we have all we need. If you're single or married or kids or have no kids or grown-up kids or one or 400, Jesus is enough. He offers a more sure and confident way to live and build our life upon. Not negating the joy and the pleasure and meaning that kids bring, but putting it in the right perspective. So the question would be, what might look for your life, as Peter says in verse 8, to structure your life through the knowledge of Him and to keep increasing in that, so that you can glorify and praise God, loving, serving, finding contentment in Him as you navigate all the complexities of kids and family. Well, let me offer a next step then. Today, as you go out and speak to people over coffee and morning tea, as you go home, agree, this is the vision I want to have for my family too, whether you're single or married or old or whatever, it doesn't matter. But sign up for God's vision and then pray you would encourage that to happen. And if you're here and you're hearing about Jesus and you're not really sure where you stand with God or what you think life with Jesus and this vision of life and meaning and purpose is and the Son and how life revolves around Him, then I'd encourage you to think about our life course, because this is 4 weeks of exploring the claims of Jesus more deeply from the Bible. And if you're here and you know someone that might benefit from it, why not invite them along? Safaris is a great place. It's relaxed, because we really do think that meaning and purpose is found in Him with our life revolving around Jesus. Hey, I know, thank you for listening. I know that this was potentially a hard talk for some of you to listen to. I'd like to pray for us now that we'd all walk out of here confident of God's divine power that He's given us to live a fulfilling life through faith in Him, and that He has enough grace and mercy to help navigate every single parenting and kid challenge we could ever face. And if you'd like to know more, on the back of the outline, and I hadn't put it online this week, I apologize, but the paper one has a list of all these books you might like to read. From miscarriages to parenting teenage kids to being a grandparent to being a mum and all the challenges. If you'd like to know more, have a look at it, read them, explore them. They might be helpful. But let me pray for us now. Great God, you reveal yourself as our Father. Jesus is our big brother that does the work of salvation for us. And in Him, we find our identity safe, secured, forgiven, given grace, all the struggles in life. And yes, Lord, what more pain can we find in life other than that of children? But what great joy. So Lord, help us here to place our desires and our family in the right position in life, orbiting around You, a God of mercy and grace, so that we can have Your vision and seek children as gifts and lead them to You, the Father of mercy, that they need as much as us. So Lord, help us to have Your perspective, we pray. Thank You for the words of Your Bible, which are good and true. In Your name we pray, amen.